America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you are listening to an exciting, and thank God I can finally say this, post-Trump edition of Let's Weekend.
Yes.
I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Chris Elogian, Teresa Sammons, and our special guest for the night, Patrick Mifflin and Filippo D'Analfo. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
Yeah. Hello. So it is January 22nd, 2021. And yeah, you woke up and the sun seemed to shine just a little bit brighter today, didn't it?
Well, you know, not here because we had full overcast, but I get what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah. Of course, that, you know, that whole sort of concept sort of depends on if whether or not the sun was actually out in your part of the world, but you get the idea.
Yes.
So 2 days ago at 11:49 a.m., Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. was sworn in as the 46th president of the United States. We will be talking about all of that and all the stuff he's done in the 2 days or so since then.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually done quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Going a long way to starting rebuilding and fixing all the damage that Trump left behind.
Which was quite a bit of it.
Yeah. But he's already getting started on the important shit.
The Biden administration is definitely making a good account of itself right away.
Yeah. Joe himself is kind of basically kind of setting forth the whole sort of what the agenda for his administration is. He's not fucking around.
No.
He's like, okay, I'm officially in charge now. This is my agenda. We are going to get this shit done.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've had 4 years of fuckery.
Yeah.
Some normalcy would be nice.
Which, by the way, isn't it amazing to wake up and realize, oh my God, I don't have to care what the president tweeted.
It is so is, and I would like to see so many people subscribe or follow him on Twitter that it makes Trump's hairpiece spin.
Yeah.
I mean,
we already know that his inauguration beat Trump's inauguration in the ratings by like over 1 million people. So,
yeah. And this is during a pandemic where nobody could show up.
Yeah. And keep in mind, that's just national
yeah.
viewers. Oh, there were people watching that shit all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Obviously, that's not the only thing we're going to be talking about. I mean, I'll be honest, that's a good chunk of what we're going to be talking about, because there's a lot of shit that goes along with it. Again, he's only been in office 2 days, and he's already done more than, let's be honest, what Trump did in his first year. So, yeah. But before we get to all of that, before we get to all that other stuff, let's start off as we always do. Pat, what were you doing this week?
Well, there were a couple of random TV purchases for similar reasons but different functions. I am now up a 50-inch 4K TV and a 24-inch 720p TV. Both
really?
Are going to be used for gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition, this morning I got paid, and something just I had this suspicion that I should check Facebook Marketplace. And so I do, and I see an entry, Little Super Nintendo, $50 or best offer. Don't really know what they go for.
Oh, my God.
You think?
Oh, my God. As a counterpoint, the Craigslist for Chicago had one, and the cheapest it was $145.
I jumped on that at fucking 4:30 in the morning, and it is on its way to Logan, Utah as I speak. So I am once again going into the whole retro modding projects thing, and yeah, we'll see how this one shakes out. Apparently it's already modded, but I have no idea what dude did to it, so I might have to unmod it before I mod it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I'm just happy I managed to land it. I mean I don't even know what I'm going to do with it for sure. I already have a Super NES Mini, but you know, for
You cannot pass
a fourth to a third of the going price, you know, I have to jump on that.
Awesome. Yeah.
So that's been pretty much it for me.
All right, Phil, what about you?
Well, it's actually been quite a while since I've last been here, so a lot's been going on. Like this week, though, I started the process to register for my certification exams. So
All right, getting that process moving.
Yeah, turns out I'm going to need some documentation saying that my eyes suck.
Yeah.
Usually if like I've never actually needed that kind of documentation before, because if like I was in person and going to take a test, it would be pretty damn obvious.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm pretty sure you could just go to like an eye doctor or someone and they could just like, hey, sit down over there. Look over there. Yep, your eyes are fucked. Here's your paper.
Yeah, I pretty much do that. But I mean, I have like they've got all the diagnoses papers and all that. So I just have to get them to send me a copy of that and then send it off to Microsoft so I can get extra time accommodations and get that going. So that's been one of the things I've been doing this week. A little stuck in a little bit of a bureaucratic rigmarole, but I feel like, yeah, pretty soon I'm going to be leveling up as far as my skill set goes. So that's going to be fun.
I feel like we've all done some measure of self-improvement work during the pandemic.
Well, what the fuck else are we going to do?
It's true.
It's like, seriously. So there's been that. I mean, you can't doom scroll forever. I mean, it's just, yeah. It gets older for a while. Yeah. I wonder if, like, the MAGAverse now, looking at what's coming out in the news, if that's, like, their version of doom scrolling.
Oh, you don't know the fucking half of it. The QAnon world in particular is basically disintegrating before our very eyes.
And it's beautiful.
Good. So apart from that, I've been doing some audiobooks, listening to the Lady Trent series by Maria Brennan. Got through the first three books of those. There's a new one by Ewan Colfer. If you guys are familiar with Artemis Fowl, he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is a adult novel that he's done called Highfire. An old dragon that lives in Louisiana, because of course that's where it's going to live. And it's amazing, and I highly recommend it because it's one of the funniest things I have ever read.
Yeah.
So very, very highly recommended that one. Apart from that, well, my gaming has been kind of a mix of PC Building Simulator and PC Building Simulator. Along with some various retro stuff, like doing a lot of PlayStation stuff, like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, the original PlayStation one.
Timeless.
Like garbage. Mm-hmm. So it's like I do have the 1-2 remastered on the PS4, but I actually don't like playing that on the PS4 because it sounds like my PS4 is about to levitate and fly out of the room.
Yeah.
When I play that game, so that's great. But yeah, beyond that, not a whole lot as far as gaming goes. Caught up on The Expanse.
Finally. All right. I actually got season one on DVD for Christmas last year, so I'm actually starting that series in earnest.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, I know it's good.
You're going to dig it, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, I've been caught up on that. Season 5 is, we're 8 episodes in, 2 episodes left. I don't know how far you've gotten into it, Teresa, or if you've even started season 5 yet.
We haven't started yet because we have to do some stuff this weekend, and as soon as we start it, like, nothing else is happening. We know it will fall into a black hole.
Yeah.
So after I get these goddamn cabinet doors painted, that's actually on our list.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure you'll enjoy it. It's been very enjoyable this season. Yeah, a little bit of a slower pace this season than last season, but I'm actually okay with that. So
yeah, I'm really interested to follow up on the storyline of the kid. So
yeah, Philip. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some shit happens there. So
yeah.
And apart from that, well, I was looking to buy a small form factor computer, and then I went to Newegg and added all the stuff to my cart, and then went to check out, and it was all sold out. So that was fun.
Yep.
That's how the PC market is right now. So I just started looking at Facebook Marketplace and eBay, and I spotted Alienware Alpha R2.
Ooh.
maxed out i7 6700T, 16 gigs of RAM, and the 4 gig GTX 960 and a 56 gig SSD. So literally don't have to do anything to that thing. For 480 Canadian.
Oh, I'm crying. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
It's so I just bought that today. Hopefully we'll be getting that in the next few days. Guys in Edmonton, Alberta, so it probably shouldn't take all that long to get here.
It's got a little bit of distance to cover, but
yeah, it'll take like 4 or 5 days. I'll probably get it around the time of my birthday, which is the 2nd of February.
Excellent.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting that. And I also noticed that particular R2 with the GTX 960 has access to the Alienware graphics amp, which is something I might look into a little bit later.
Yes, put that in the floor. Absolutely.
Because yes, let's completely bypass the point of a small form factor computer, slapping a giant external graphics card to it. But why the hell not?
Yeah.
That's something you could do. And that's something, if the 960 doesn't turn out to be as far, as powerful as I need it to be, I might look into. But as long as I can play Gran Turismo 4 at 60 FPS, which I think I'll be able to do with that 960, probably going to be good.
Let me know.
Yeah. So, I'm really looking forward to getting that and getting everything else going as far as what the rest of my life goes. But other than that, yeah, that's pretty much been it for me. Buddy, Teresa.
Yeah, you, Teresa, what about you?
Well, I've been playing a lot of Civ 6 because I had smashed my finger last week. And it's feeling a lot better, by the way. It has little scab on it. Oh, by the way, we cannot, for love nor money, get those goddamn magnets apart. We don't know what to do. They are completely fused together. They're like 80-pound vertical magnets.
Oh, Jesus.
Kicking them apart.
Well, it smashed your finger.
Oh, dude. It almost exploded that little bit of my finger that it got in there.
Oh,
it was ridiculous. It was like, it left like kind of like an open oval shape. I mean, it was just like the...
Ew.
It was missing. It was missing. And it bled for like 45 minutes. Like heavy bleeding, because it's just a fingertip. So I had started playing Civ 6 again because I can play that on an iPad. What the fuck? am I ever going to need to buy another computer? The answer to that is yes, but not anytime soon, because you guys know I already bought one. But that was my thing. I used to buy and or upgrade my computer whenever the new Civ came out. And now I'm just completely fucking blown away about playing it on a silly little iPad. It's ridiculous. So anyway, I've been playing that, and I actually did a religious victory. I usually don't do that. I usually shun it altogether. But I started doing it, and I converted a couple of cities, and bam, I'm done. I'm like, holy shit, that was like a 90-minute game. So been playing that. Also, Phantasy Star Online 2. I got my second level 75, so then I unlocked the Scion classes. And I haven't actually logged in today, and I need to, because I need to get a rod or a rifle or something for Phantom and go run some stuff. I want to see what it's all about.
You're going
to love that. I'm looking forward to it. I completed a few side quests with what's her name over by the cafe, and I'm level 2. I'm like, okay, I'll take the XP.
That might be a good class to put your million tickets into.
I do. I have so many, but I'm gonna wait like until you're online so you can see me go from like level 2 to level like 42.
Okay.
So it'd be funny.
That's fair.
Yeah. A little bit of Animal Crossing New Horizons, because it's January and I hadn't played, and there might be some new bugs or some new fish to catch. So I thought I'd fool around with that. But we've been watching Dragon Ball at bedtime, kind of in earnest. We're really starting to get through there. We're still with General Blue, or whatever he's called in the dub, because we're not watching the subs. Kid cannot stand the voice acting in the subs. so it's dubs all the way. We are in season 6 of Bob's Burgers, and that's still happening. Like, that's seriously, it's our lunchtime thing. Because we're all home for lunch, so we pile up on the couch and watch Bob's Burgers while we have some lunch. And Disenchantment Season 3, we're going pretty hot and heavy on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally love that. Scott and I did kind of a watch-along podcast with Season 1 and maybe part of Season 2 back in the day, but, you know, now we're just watching for pleasure.
Yeah, I actually have not finished Season 2, so I need to get back on that.
Yeah, that ends on quite a note. But it's kind of interesting, and they brought in another voice that, if you know voices, you're going to be interested in when you start Season 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't ruin the surprise, but when you hear his voice, you're going to know who he is, I'm sure. But that's really about it, other than sitting around wondering if I'm going to have a job this time next week, because apparently accounts payable is done with money for me at the end of this month, and my boss's boss won't say shit about whether or not they're going to extend me or not.
Eh.
And kind of be nice to know so I could wrap up on a few projects that I'm working on. But I don't know, and I mean, financially, I guess I don't give a shit. I mean, if they don't extend me, I'm going to sit on unemployment for a while until I get another job. So I don't know. It's a privileged place to be in, but please remember that we gave up a lot to be in this place of privilege,
mm-hmm.
as in our entire house. So yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. But yeah, that's about it. I wish that I had watched more. I feel like I probably did, but I don't think I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been a weird week. We've been spending more time in the evenings keeping up with current events this week, and looking at Bernie memes. Holy crap!
Yeah, like, we're gonna get into that later. So.
Yeah, which I'm loving it. Like, I'm sure that I have spent probably 4 hours looking at Bernie memes, and I don't apologize for it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
All right, Chris, what about you?
It's we've been getting a lot of snow lately. Not like in terms of inches, but it was like almost a bit of snowfall every day for like 5 or 6 days.
Mm.
Till I think like yesterday, maybe.
Mm. Yeah, enough to put it on the road. And bothering
you. Yeah. I never really got too much to stick anywhere, but it would stick on the grass, but not really much else. Except for the one day, but the road crews were out, so for once early in the morning, so that was all right. But yeah, as for watching stuff, I finished Community, which kind of ends on an note. You could definitely tell once they hit one of the characters, like graduating, they didn't quite know what to do with the whole thing. And so, like, the last season, it was playing, and I was like, who cares? They're getting into a couple of interesting things, but for the most part, not really doing anything. Though there was one funny episode where the group is going to the wedding of Garrett. And that whole thing ends with them finding out that he was accidentally marrying his cousin.
Oh, my.
An incest wedding. Because they mentioned both their grandparents were born in the same town, were about the same age. And like, oh, go get your mima.
Mm-hmm.
And all that. And like, that's the same person. It's... I don't know what he noticed this thing. Then Chang has some big speech to convince him, oh, it's okay.
Mm.
You can still marry. It's a weird whole thing, but it was pretty wild. It's like a couple of interesting things, but not really too much in the last like two seasons. So that was all right. Been watching more Bob's Burgers. What was the episode I just watched? There was one with where Teddy is doing his own homebrew, which is a whole good thing. Yeah, that show still continues to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, watch the new episode of WandaVision, which is where it starts to show more of its hand for what the ulterior motive of what's going on seems to be. Which is good that they, when they launched, they had at least two episodes to show, because I think people just started getting pissed if two weeks in they had no real idea of what's going on here. So yeah, that's starting to unravel a bit. So that's getting pretty fun. Been playing some stuff this week. I got Hitman 3. Haven't been able to play it too much just because the first day they were having server issues for their progression transfer thing, which they ran through their site. And most people did not know their passwords for their IO accounts. So people were, you know, requesting them, getting like a dead page, or it was taking forever to get your emails or whatever. Because it's not an account that anybody really needed to use.
Yeah.
And they didn't try to get people to get that stuff all settled before launch. So it was quite a fun bit of time trying to get that all done. But things are fine now. Got my progress transferred over from Hitman 2, which means when I started up here a little bit earlier today, it just gave me a bunch of trophies because I'd already done the stuff required of it. So that was nice. Yeah, the first mission is in this kind of Bond or Mission Impossible style thing where you're in this big tower in Abu Dhabi kind of thing. I'm still messing with that, so still checking it out, but looking good so far. I've been playing some Torchlight 3. I got that from the recent holiday sale on PSN. So far, it's been pretty easy. I even turned it up to hard, so I haven't really gotten that close to dying yet. So it's definitely got that Diablo vibe to it, where it's pretty easy on the default difficulties. I picked the character that is a robot, and he has, along with his main weapon, he has like a cannon in his belly. So you can just sit there, and that's like a long-range weapon, so I'm just sitting there holding it, I'm getting near enemies and just kind of targeting enemies around. Don't have to do too fine of aiming there, but yeah, you got your pets, which they have dogs, cats, and I don't know, dog, llama, and like an owl, I think. But you can get others to drop. So when I get to one of the things, you get a fort that you can kind of design how you want. You can put like a pet kennel there. That's where you go swap out pets. That's how, that kind of thing. I don't know if there's any real difference stat-wise to them. I have some that are like legendary, and some the one you start with is common. So otherwise, you just put your trash on it, and when it gets full, you just send it back to town. You're fighting on your own for a minute or so. So it's not really too much different than the original, but it's still pretty fun. Look forward to putting some more time into it. They do have like battle passes in the game, but it's not like a paid thing. It's just you pick one to be on, and as you kill stuff, you get points to go towards it, and every once in a while you get the next level and you redeem whatever item you get out of it and move on to the next thing. So it's kind of a little bit of a weird whole thing there, but it's been fine so far. Look forward to put some more time into that, but it seemed pretty good for the $20 I spent on it. I also got I got 13 Sentinels and a couple other things, so I'll be checking that stuff out here over the weekend. Still playing more Rocket League. They just added X Games stuff to the store that are mostly paid. There's like two player banners for free, but the rest is just like a wheel and some sort of decal set that are paid, which I don't really understand, because they announced it like it was an event. But then it's just like, there's a couple of special items on the store. It's like, okay, whatever. They're not that interesting compared to the rest of the stuff I have, so it's all right. I've also been playing some Crimson Land on my PS5. They just updated that to have a PS5 version. So if you own it on PS4, PS3, yeah. Vita, you can get the PS5 version for free. Doesn't really seem to add too much to the game other than just the triggers have a little bit of resistance when you pull them down.
Mm-hmm.
But you're, you know, holding them down because it's a dual stick shooter.
Yeah.
Like that. So it's not really getting anything tactile out of it. The rumble's pretty nice, but other than that, it's the same game. You know, you're going through the quest to unlock some of the modes and some of the items for the drops, that kind of stuff. It doesn't even use the leaderboards, the dashboard level leaderboards that Astro's Playroom has for the score stuff. But I did one run on the main arcade thing, and I was number 8 in the world, so it's not too bad so far. Mostly because I think not many people are playing it right now, so I'm sure they'll go down it over time. But that's been pretty much it. How about you, Brandon?
All right, well, as for me, I'm still playing Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. I finished the main game, so I'm doing the epilogue segment they created specifically for this version called Future Connection. It's, you can definitely tell that it was made like years after the fact because it doesn't have the same voice actors. They're just in general, their character models are just better. basically it takes place like a few years after the end of the first game, and you're sort of searching out for what used to be the shoulder of the Bionis after, you know, what happens at the end of the game. And you end up finding like a whole group of basically stranded refugees who sort of made their own towns on this area, and it happens to be fairly close, right at the area where the High Entia, the people with the bird wings on their heads, where they used to live. But for whatever reason, all the High Entia that are still alive were driven out of it by this thing called the Fog King, and your whole sort of thing is trying to get rid of the Fog King, obviously. Gameplay wise, there are some significant differences because since you no longer have the Monado, that means you don't have that thing where you can see into the future what your enemies are going to do. And it also means that you can't do, you know, one of those group attacks like you did with the old game. Instead, what you can do is there's these groups of Nopon, you know, the fuzzy little cotton ball people that you end up seeing in the first game, that are a bunch of land surveyors. And if you get a bunch of them, because there's like about a dozen of them all over the game area that you can go look and find. If you get a bunch of them, you can actually get something akin to like a group attack, but it operates more like a friggin' smart bomb, because it doesn't just attack the character that's targeted, but it actually like targets the whole like general area that you and the party are fighting in. I get a feeling that some of these mechanics are probably going to make their way into Xenoblade Chronicles 3, because there are some small hints here and there that they're trying to sort of link the universe of the first Xenoblade Chronicles to the universe of the second Xenoblade Chronicles. Because anybody who played both those games to the end know that they're both connected by like a singular event that ended up happening. And it looks like maybe they're trying to sort of meld the two together now. Also, you know, considering sort of the sort of cameo appearance of characters like Cosmos that were in Xenoblade 2, it's possible they also may or may not be trying to also meld in some of the shit from Xenoblade Saga from not Xenoblade, from Xenosaga as well. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, and yeah, I'm also playing Final Fantasy VII Remake. It's great. It is definitely a game where, you know, literally everything, you are, weird shit immediately starts to happen as soon as, like, the reactor bombing run is finished. Like, almost immediately. Because Sephiroth, of all people, ends up showing up way fucking earlier than he should be. You know, that's another thing. Books. I finished the third book in John Scalzi's Interdependency series. And it basically ended exactly the way it needed to. So there's that. And honestly, I'm just happy with the fact that I can wake up in the morning and not be scared about what's going to happen the next, what's going to, you know, like thinking like, oh God, what the fuck did he do today? You know?
Yeah.
I think all of us did not realize until the last 2 days just how much stress we've been carrying on our shoulders.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've heard that.
Yeah. All right. So, with that, I do believe it's now time for, well, actually, before we do that, does anybody have anything else they want to add before we move on?
No, my alpha just shipped.
Hell yeah.
All right. Awesome.
Sweet.
Okay. Well, with that, awesomeness, we're now going to move on to everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And today, let's do a little bit of Japanese folklore. What about that? Maybe okay. An urban legend, perhaps. So I guess anybody who's been looking at the gaming world knows a major announcement that came out within the last week or so, which was the first trailers for Resident Evil Village, also known as Resident Evil 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what's the one thing from all those trailers that everybody is obsessing over?
I don't know. I'm not paying attention.
Yeah,
it's the fucking tall vampire lady. Yeah. There's this character that's apparently in the game. Her name is Lady. I think her name is Lady Lunanescu. I think is what her name is. Who is this incredibly tall vampire woman? Lady Dimitrescu. That's her name. This incredibly tall vampire woman with, you know, like this big flowing white dress and this enormous sun hat, and she's deathly pale, and basically the whole internet was like, yeah, I want to put my penis into that.
Because of the internet.
Yeah. And of course that's until, you know, when you see her again in that trailer and she bursts through the door, she grabs you by the throat, and then her hand suddenly sprouts these enormous Wolverine claws. And, well, you know what happens there. But I think what a lot of people don't realize is that particular character is actually based off of something. Because obviously, you know, Resident Evil is a Capcom property, and Capcom is a Japanese company. So obviously it's going to be heavily inspired, at least to a degree, by the Japanese culture they grew up in, that, you know, a lot of those people grew up with. And as for Lady Dimitrescu herself, her design is heavily inspired by a particular Japanese urban legend that is, well, she goes by several names. Her common name is Hachishaku-sama, also known as 8 feet tall. She's a yokai. And she usually takes the form of this incredibly tall woman. They say 8 feet tall, but she doesn't really have to be 8 feet. She could be 9 or even 10 feet tall. And keep in mind, this is Japan, where like the average height of a person is like, what, 5'5" or something?
Ish.
So, yeah. So obviously someone who is this tall is obviously going to be very off-putting. And she's known for essentially, you know, her form usually takes a very obvious form. Obviously, it's She's obviously very tall. She wears a long white, usually something like a sundress. And she'll also, of course, her very big defining feature is her huge, like, sun hat. You know, I'm just going to put that picture in there. So if you look at that and it's like, oh, yeah, I totally see it. The character has, and of course, you're probably thinking, okay, so what's the big deal? Well, whenever she shows up, she usually has this very deep, very masculine voice where she constantly makes the sound, bo, 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 sort of like that, but it's like got a weird, creepy echo to it. And then, of course, there's the fact that she usually preys on children, usually some kids between the ages of 9 or 11. She's a child abductor, basically. Exactly what she does with the children, nobody really knows. All that's known is that she has a tendency to basically stalk her victims for days or even weeks until she finally gets them. Exactly where this character originated from, nobody's really sure. The character actually, as far back as anybody tell, the first like written account of her is from like around 2008. So she's actually a fairly recent creation. Obviously, if you look at that picture I gave you, you'll notice she also looks kind of similar to another famous jacket, you know, another famous Japanese folklore character, which is an Onryo, you know, the well girl.
Yeah.
From The Ring.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, she's got the black eyes and the long, you know, the long, incredibly long, like all the way down to her ass, dark hair. And, yeah. The character basically kind of became like a meme sometime around 2012. And then after that, it started basically spreading like wildfire, basically. And now, of course, you'll find examples of her in just a bunch of different media. I'm pretty sure there's like one particular enemy and like I'm pretty sure she showed up in like one of the most recent Castlevania games, and she also shows up in what's that game? The one that came out very recently that was Castlevania Symphony of the Night, like
Bloodstained.
Thank you. I don't know why I couldn't remember it because I fucking played it. But yeah, there's at least one or two characters in there that are based off of her as well. And now you got Lady Dimitrescu, who just got the whole fucking thing started all over again. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. Okay. Now then, with that out of the way, it is now time to move on to the show proper. And as always, we have to start off with the assholes of the week, because he is no longer president, but he still managed to do a bunch of shit before he left. And, one of the last things he did was pardon over 140 people, including Steve Bannon and Elliot Broidy.
Yeah, he gave a preemptive pardon for Steve Bannon for whatever charges he might get.
Yep.
So that's going to be fun to see. And if you don't remember Elliot Broidy, he was one of the RNC's finance chair. One of Trump's top fundraisers.
Yep.
Who pled guilty in October to conspiring to violate foreign lobbying laws. So, you know, fun stuff. Pure corruption. Most of these are, like, okay stuff. People that went to prison, you know, a long time ago or whatever. I think Lil Wayne's one of these.
Yep, Lil Wayne got a pardon.
Dwayne Michael Carter Jr. And a few others like that. So yeah, not all bad, but the few noteworthy ones here are very much of the corruption thing that Trump loves. So, you know.
Yeah, I just wonder if they actually manage to get the impeachment conviction to stick if they're not going to be able to just nullify all of those?
It's been,
I don't know if there's precedent for it or anything like that.
There's been a lot of people discussing whether or not if he was incompetent and is proof so in an impeachment, there's a lot of people looking into whether or not those could be overturned.
Hmm. We'll have to wait and see.
And pity the poor bastard who has to round everybody up
again.
Right? Because that's quite a few.
Yeah.
Quite a few. And, I mean, he was impeached before, so maybe we could undo those.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Hmm. Maybe.
Well, we'll see.
Just saying, like, you know, Mitch is already being Mitch. But it's almost like his heart isn't really in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, because his money's certainly starting to run out of it.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So, obviously we had the couple weeks ago, we had the just absolute travesty that was the Capitol insurrection, which was essentially inspired and abetted by Donald Trump and several of his cohorts, which then launched into basically what I am calling the beer belly putsch, which I think is
a pretty good label
for it. And it was basically like just some of the dregs of both the far right and the alt right sort of made their way to that fucking thing. And among them was a certain well-known internet asshole by the name of Baked Alaska. And yep. Baked Alaska was one of those people who was arrested this week by the FBI specifically for invading the Capitol.
Yep. He has charges of violent and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds and knowingly entering a restricted building without lawful authority.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, you know, fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. It was only a matter of time before that fucker got himself thrown in jail. Because he is just, the dude is a fucking sociopath.
Yeah.
Yeah, he also streamed for about 27 minutes from inside the Capitol.
Yep.
So, you know.
There's
also a video that the New Yorker got of people inside the Senate chambers,
mm-hmm.
Where they were looking through documents, trying to find incriminating information to support their bullshit.
Yeah.
And somebody's saying, like, this is what Ted Cruz would have wanted us to do.
Yeah. It very quickly becomes apparent, no, these people aren't fucking geniuses. They're morons.
Like, yeah, but thanks, like, for making it easy and just documenting all of your crimes on video. Like,
sad is that to go to jail for taking pictures of basically the standard operating procedures for the floor? Because that's what he was looking at.
Yeah. So, Phil,
what do you think of the security that Parler had that enabled people just to back up all of its data? And
oh, yeah, you're the tech guy on
images with the GPS information, all that on it.
Yeah, just tell us.
Okay. Well, like, they were stripping that from the files they uploaded.
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple of things about Parler. Well, first of all, you know, Amazon just put the kibosh on that, so that's, we don't have to worry about that for too long.
Mm-hmm.
But their security was non-existent.
Yeah.
Because basically what they had was a couple of things going on. Like with the GPS stuff on images, that's not really, that's not really Parler's fault. Because if you upload an image to Twitter, that happens there too. But, you know, it's like, with Twitter, you can actually just turn that off if you don't want to watch your images, and they'll strip that out of the images you upload.
Yeah.
But the other problem was that Parler, for whatever reason, decided that configuring their storage, basically their storage bucket, where all of their images and messages and stuff would be stored before getting deleted, and making it completely open to anybody that actually knew the URL. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't any like real sophisticated hacking going on to actually get this information. It was there. So anybody that looked at the app and saw where it was storing that information could just grab the URL, go there in a browser, and grab everything.
If things were deleted, they were still there.
They were still there. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's like as far as large databases and stuff goes, that's actually stuff that's pretty typical. You don't want to do large scale deletes on databases that are active, because you can run the risk of corrupting the rest of the stuff. So what tends to happen there is you get stuff that's marked as deleted. And then during a scheduled task, that stuff will get cleared out. But apparently, even when it did, it was still on the backup server, which was also public. So that was great.
Yeah.
So Parler, yeah. Written by morons, but I guess that shouldn't be that surprising.
Wasn't that thing also hosted by Epic?
It was hosted by Amazon. And then they realized that they don't want hate speech on their platform, so they killed it.
Now it's Epic.
Yeah now it's, well, is it even Epic? I don't even know if Epic wants any.
No, it's whatever the dude that runs the servers for a bunch of other shitty places.
Weird offshore stuff.
Host. Yeah, with the last name Monster. I forget the...
That is Epic.
Yeah,
that is Epic. That's, hold on. Let me check. I do
it's
believe
not Epic
that...
Games.
No, okay, yeah.
No, it's not Epic. Epic with a K. Okay. Yeah, Rob Monster. Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah, that is Epic.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and... Other people that got arrested, of course, include the Q shaman.
I was like, whoopsie.
Yeah.
It's like,
and
he's lost the faith, so.
Yeah. After, he finally got his fucking organic diet back in prison.
He was in that New Yorker video where he's just yelling.
Yeah.
Doing his shaman stuff, I guess.
Yeah. And, oh yeah, fucking John Schaefer from Iced Earth. Yeah, he was there too, and he's currently wanted by the FBI.
Not anymore.
No, they find him.
He turned himself in.
Ah, all right. But let's be honest.
His own fans were narking on him. The game was pretty much up.
Yeah, and let's be honest. And anybody who's been following Iced Earth over the last few years knew. It was only a matter of time until he completely went off the fucking deep end like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, finally, the new general manager for the New York Mets was fired over sexual harassment and sexting with a foreign journalist covering the Major League Baseball. So.
Yeah, this happened in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
She was, let's see. Yeah, she was a foreign journalist who came over to the U.S. to start covering MLB, had met him when he worked for the Cubs in a Yankee Stadium elevator. They spoke briefly about international baseball, exchanged business cards. That's kind of what you do when you're writing about a sport, is you meet people, exchange business cards so they can be contacts. You can talk to them later about stories and whatnot. Except from that business card, he got her phone number and started just texting her a bunch. She never responded from the images that were released of the text chain. So he was very much desperate, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly texting, saying, why aren't you responding to me? This kind of stuff. Then just posted dick pics and pictures.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. And so this just got revealed in the past couple weeks here.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets, the next day or two, released a statement saying, we take this very seriously, and he's been terminated effective immediately. And the weird thing is, like, some of the way he responded to this, I think there's a quote here. Let's see. After text exchanges that began casually, Porter started complimenting her looks, inviting her to meet him in different cities, and ask him why she was ignoring him. After he sent her a lewd picture, the woman ignored more than 60 messages from Porter before he sent the most vulgar photo. Woman told ESPN she intentionally tried to avoid him at a couple of big league ballparks. Text from Porter ultimately contributed to the decision to leave journalism and return to her home country. Porter texted apologies to the woman in 2016 after she saw the naked picture and wrote to him as messages were extremely inappropriate, very offensive, and getting out of line. Let's see, ESPN said it contacted Porter on Monday. He acknowledged texting with the woman. At first, he said he hadn't sent any pictures of himself. When informed, the exchanges showed that he sent selfies and other pictures. He said, quote, "The more explicit ones are not of me. Those are like kind of like joke stock images," which is like, no.
No.
Like, that doesn't make it better, dude.
That also doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I paid for stock images of dicks instead. It's like they're still dicks. And yeah, and kind of the, I think the reason she came out recently was that he had gotten this job with the Mets, described it as dream job, as his dream job, and she's really like, well, I've been pushed out of mine. And so she wanted to kind of show that, you know, this is how easy it is to do it in this, and show the kind of atmosphere that women can get in sports that oftentimes pushes them out, that kind of stuff. Yeah, so he's probably not going to get a job anytime soon.
No.
Nope.
Now, is he an old man? Because, firstly, nobody wants to see dick pics.
He's 41.
And secondly, nobody... Oh, well, old enough. They're... Yeah. Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, all right.
Especially when it's supposed to be a work contact.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So... Yeah, very briefly before we go on, because we sort of glanced over the whole U.S. Capitol insurrection thing. Phil, let me ask you, how were folks up in your neck of the woods reacting as that shit was going down?
It was essentially a whole lot of what the fuck. Because, like, this is like Beirut level shit that we were watching going down. And yep. It was happening just south of the border to us, mm-hmm. you know. So, some of us were not really too surprised that it would come to that because we've seen, what this administration was, basically advocating. I mean, we've been talking about this kind of stuff for the past 4 years on this very show. It's like, so, you know, there was a bit of like, we told you so going on, while it was also like, you know, pretty damn like, fucking scary, like why is this going down?
Yeah. And here's the thing, your family in particular, specifically your great grandparents, this is something that's not entirely out of their experience, is it?
No. You know, like I was saying, like to you on Messenger, it's like both of my grandparents were like they came here when they were just old enough to travel. So
yeah.
But it's like their parents lived through that whole insurrection with in Rome and with Mussolini. I was listening to the show a little while back. We were talking about the guy with the castor oil. That was one of their neighbors, so that scared the shit out of them. You know, and it's like, and even though like it did get better, you know, after all of that happened and things started to settle down, it left an indelible mark on their parents.
Yeah.
And basically they said, you know, while it's okay now, we have no idea if this is going to ever come back. So as soon as you're able to travel, get yourself out of here.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how they ended up here. So,
Yeah, and like I messaged Phil. I was like, dude, you know, this is the first thing that fucking came to my mind watching this shit is this is the goddamn March on Rome.
Only a little less competent.
Yeah, and with fewer dudes that actually have military training.
Yeah.
Just
several generations of inbreeding.
Yeah. But thankfully, we can now get on from there and go on to our Heroes of the Week so we can once again repeat it for the people in the back. Joseph Robinette Biden is the 46th president of the United States.
Yes, he is.
Yep.
The Trump era is over. And fingers crossed it will never come back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Trumpism, on the other hand, doesn't look like it's going anywhere anytime soon.
No, unfortunately.
No, because we still got the dumbasses that are now imitating him in the Congress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. 11:49 on January 20th, yes. He was officially sworn in as President of the United States. His term then officially began on noon of that day.
And, like, he had a half day, and I swear to God, he did more in his half day than Trump did in the past year.
Yeah. In that first day, he signed 14 executive orders.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking about some of them, because he ended up signing a total of 30 over the next couple, over the next 2 days.
Yeah. You know what's the best part of the inauguration? It's exactly what Trump wanted at any point in his presidency, and he never got it.
Yeah.
People actually being happy he was there, especially in Hollywood and the music world and all that, because they got shit for that in his inauguration and most any other event he held.
Yeah, because, I mean, did you see just how badly they tried to compensate for it afterwards?
Yeah.
I mean, so much so that they actively lied about the number of people who attended.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we entered that era of alternative facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's president now. Kamala Harris is vice president. Bernie Sanders is now the head of the Senate. What's it called? The
Finance Committee, I believe.
Finance Committee. Mm-hmm. And he kind of became a bit of a meme because he showed up with his, you know, heavy jacket and wool gloves.
The same one from the other meme.
Yeah.
You know, I am asking you for, you know, the money for this. Like,
it's
the same jacket.
Yeah.
Because he's an old man. He found his jacket and he wants to wear it.
Yeah.
It's not even an old man thing, man. You get a good parka and it's lined and shit and it's comfortable, insulated. Why the hell would you wear anything else? I wouldn't be caught dead without, and I hate the color of my parka, but I wouldn't be caught dead without my parka in cold weather like that.
Yeah. And he also had the nice demeanor of the way he was sitting. Was just like, lots of memes like, oh, the inauguration's on his list of things to do, but it's not his whole day.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, let's wrap this up. I got shit to do.
He had his mittens on too, which were from a teacher in Vermont that made them out of materials from discarded sweatshirts and I think recycled plastic for insulation.
So
he was like, well, the good thing out of it is I know that we make mittens.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he actually, he did a sweatshirt on his campaign site and it is sold out. It was 35 or 45. Mm-hmm. And it was him in his mittens, and it was just the funniest little thing. And of course, that's being donated to charity. I believe a Vermont soup kitchens. I believe is what he's doing for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's aware of it. He's aware of his status. But also in true Bernie fashion, I think he's completely unfazed by it. Just really glad, probably that people acknowledge his longtime contribution and still care about what he's up to and how much he cares about the American people.
Yeah.
And he's in that picture, he's completely relatable, something that I've mentioned time and time again. I mean, probably 90% of our leaders are not relatable. They don't know how to pump their own gas. They don't mow their own lawn. They don't know how to pay for something at a 7-Eleven or what the fuck. You know, they've never had a goddamn Slurpee. We want people who understand how we live. We can relate to, you know, people who have had a flooded basement or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
People who can understand our experience and know what we the people need. And Bernie has always been that guy.
Yeah. And now he's in a very powerful position now, too.
Yes. Because,
He's
ahead of one of the major Senate committees.
Yeah. specifically one that has to do with finances. And let's be honest, that's right up Bernie's alley. So
it's his whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's his drumbeat. That is what he marches to.
Yeah. So, yeah. So amongst other things also happened, the House of Representatives very quickly voted to impeach the now former President Trump for the second time. And let's be honest, compared to the first time, this one was a very breezy process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they announced that the shit's getting delivered to the Senate on Monday.
Yeah. Yep. Despite Mitch trying to delay it. And I don't think he really believed that he was going to succeed at that.
No.
No.
Chuck Schumer announced that the trial will be beginning on February 8th, which is about a little over 2 weeks from now. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. Because remember, we do more or less have a Democratic majority in the Senate now. It's a very slim one. But
you need 17 Republicans to get for that to work.
Yeah.
Which now, here's your chance of divorcing yourself from the Trump family.
Yeah.
Once and for all.
And I have a feeling there's going to be a few that are more than willing to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's whether the rest can get their head out of their asses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To do what's right.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
They seem to have already settled into their party of obstruction thing already.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ted Cruz complaining about the Paris Accord with the exact same argument that Trump had was, you know, Biden cares more about the citizens of Paris than the citizens of Pittsburgh.
What the fuck?
The Pittsburgh mayor tweeted immediately after Trump said that. It's like, we're going to keep following it, so fuck you.
Yeah. I mean, it was almost lockstep, too, because it's only been 2 days and already fuckers on Fox Business are complaining about the deficit. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's deficit like you weren't complaining when your boy was ringing it up.
Yeah.
The highest increase in presidential history.
Yep.
Yeah. But, all right. So, some other folks that got confirmed by the Senate, our first African-American Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin. He was confirmed this week.
Yeah. And just in case you're wondering how Republicans are doing and trying to obstruct this stuff, it was 93-2 vote.
More than two that voted against it, yeah.
Who's the guy from South Carolina, I think it is? The black senator that they have? Tim Hill? Hill or something like that? I forget what his last name is, but he was one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know what his reasoning was, and I forget who the other one is. I'm not sure they mention it here, but
honestly, I'm not sure they matter.
Yeah.
The margin was big enough that it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And then we also got Avril Haines, who was confirmed by the Senate to be our first woman leading the U.S. intelligence community.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. For the Director of National Intelligence, 84-10.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think the 10 includes a number of the people you would expect. Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Holly,
mm-hmm.
you know, all that kind of shit.
Mm. Can I make a mention of like all of these nominations and well confirmations now that we're seeing with the with Biden's cabinet? These people are actually competent. It's very refreshing.
Yeah, they're not donors.
They didn't buy their way in, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weirdly refreshing when mediocrity seems to be like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to have that thought in the back of your head, like, when are they going to fucking pull the rug?
Yeah.
On whatever they're trying to do here.
Yeah. Yeah, even like Pete Buttigieg, who's now the transportation...
Secretary, yeah.
Secretary, they're wondering why is he qualified to do that? It's not that he's qualified for anything particularly about transportation. It's managerial skills, which Buttigieg has.
Yeah.
So he's putting people that actually know their shit into positions that they could work.
Plus, they don't have such a big ego that they are willing to actually, you know, defer to the experts if they need to, which is another big thing.
Well, and maybe things are being run like a business, because when you want to hire somebody to head up a new department, they don't always have to have that exact skill set. They, you know, like they haven't had to do that job before. They've had to do something like that job where they can extrapolate and use their learned skills in this new position. Everybody went on and on about place like a goddamn business. Maybe they are.
Well, we also had our first, I don't think it's mentioned here, but we had the first trans woman who was nominated to a major cabinet position as well. So that's another thing.
Yeah. I also like what Biden said while he was swearing in his members of cabinet there.
Yeah, which was, he basically said, you know, I like all of you. I thank all of you for your sacrifice, but if I hear one of you ever put somebody down for any reason, I will fire you on the spot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dignity and respect. Is he going to be the president of dignity and respect?
Oh, fuck.
Is that what we're looking at here?
Yeah.
In fact, you have to say that is sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're coming off of. It does.
A man with no dignity.
Or respect, or ethics, or morals, or I could go on with
humanity.
So during the inauguration, probably one of the people that captured the hearts of a lot of people was young poet Amanda Gorman, who became the youngest inaugural poet in U.S. history.
Yep.
Yeah. She's 22.
Yep, 22.
Yes.
And that young woman can write.
Yep. And she showed everybody how.
Yeah. Yeah, her recitation of it, too, was just stellar. She goosebumps, absolute goosebumps.
Yeah. You got to understand, the inaugural poet is a very, like, it's sort of a procedural type thing. And it's very rare that they actually manage to get a bit of the spotlight themselves. I mean, there have been occasions when it's happened. You know, Maya Angelou did it once. And, you know, some other people. But she kind of made it a... She let's just say she's going to have a nice long career. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. She also kind of upstaged Biden a little bit, let's be honest.
Just a little. But honestly... You know, Biden just wanted to get to work anyway. So,
and he did.
Yeah. And finally, last hero of the week, a judge from New York who blocked the National Rifle Association from transferring their suit out of New York. I can't remember if we mentioned this last week. I think we did. Yeah, the NRA filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy because they're wanting to reconstitute over in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the judge saying, you ain't fucking getting away with that shit.
Yeah, the lawsuit alleges the organization is fraught with fraud and abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not really a surprise, but
nope.
It's one that could potentially shut them down for good.
Yeah, and we'd all, and nothing of value would be lost.
Nope.
All right, so that's out of the way, and now it's time to move on to the proper show proper. And our first big story of the night, Biden's first 30 executive orders, which, amongst other things, includes killing the Keystone XL pipeline.
Yep.
Yeah, and JT was a bit miffed about that, but he totally understands why.
Yeah, because that's money lost for you guys on your oil stuff, but...
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, he's keeping one of his promises. It's like,
yeah.
For that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What's he's doing?
Restoring collective bargaining power and worker protections for federal workers and lays the foundation for $15 minimum wage, which I think is for federal workers.
Yeah.
Which is like, wait, they're not making 15?
No.
No.
Oh, they are not.
Which is like, shit. I'd assume if you're working for the government, you should be at least getting 15.
No, federal positions, I believe, are woefully unpaid because you do get a pension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's usually the benefit. That, and you don't pay taxes on them, I believe, for a lot of the positions. I looked into it once upon a time and ended up in corporate America instead.
Yeah, and they note that this is a reversal of a Trump executive order.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, there's one for calling for assistance for those that are struggling to buy food, missed out on stimulus checks, or are unemployed. One for accelerating manufacturing and delivery of supplies for vaccination, testing and personal protective equipment, because I think Biden came in and his team was like, yeah, there's no actual plan here for the coronavirus stuff. So they're basically having to start from scratch on day one on that stuff.
Mostly.
There's directing FEMA to expand reimbursement to states to fully cover the cost for National Guard personnel and emergency supplies, because I think that's part of the thing about having FEMA and National Guard set up clinics for doing vaccinations. There's one establishes the pandemic testing board to expand U.S. coronavirus testing capacity, establishes a preclinical program to boost development of therapeutics in response to pandemic threats, enhances the nation's collection, production, sharing, and analysis of coronavirus data, directs FEMA to create federally supported community vaccination centers, directs the Department of Education and HHS to provide guidance for safely reopening and operating schools, child care providers, institutions of higher education. So he calls on the Occupational Safety and Health Administration to release clear guidance on COVID-19. So I'd rather establish an emergency temporary standards and directs OSHA to enforce worker health and safety requirements. Like a lot of these, half of these are like for coronavirus.
Yeah, because one of the things we found out after the Biden administration got started is that, the Trump administration didn't really have a plan for the coronavirus, like at all. They were basically flying by the seat of their pants.
Yeah, there's one here that's mostly like, these vaccines are being made. Okay, ship them out. Where? Wherever.
And then we found out that apparently we did not have as many vaccines as they had originally said we had.
There's one here that puts us back into the World Health Organization.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Makes Dr. Fauci the head of our delegation for that.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the pictures of him where he is just absolutely smiling, jubilant, radiating joy?
Yeah, because he doesn't have to put up with Trump shit anymore.
Right?
Yeah. And he doesn't have a president that is jealous of the attention he is getting.
Yeah.
There's one that puts us back in the Paris Climate Accord, which will take 30 days, but...
Yeah.
The one for the Keystone XL pipeline directs agencies to review and reverse more than 100 Trump actions on the environment.
Yep.
Another one sends the Trump administration 1776 commission.
Which, by the way, I don't know if any of you ever looked at what they ended up producing. It was a piece of garbage.
Yeah. They only got like a few hundred miles of pipeline down because they just started last year.
Yeah.
So for all that's. Yeah, they didn't start for 3 years.
Yeah. Requires non-citizens to be included in the census and apportionment of congressional representatives.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big one right there.
Very big.
There's one here that fortifies DACA after Trump's efforts to undo protections for undocumented people brought into the country as children. One reverses the Trump admin's restrictions on U.S. entry for passport holders from 7 Muslim majority countries.
Basically what that does is it ends up rescinding the quote unquote Muslim ban.
Because
that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
So one that undoes Trump's expansion of immigration enforcement within the United States.
Yeah. So basically he's rolling back ICE more or less.
Yeah.
As much as he can, I guess.
And of course the border wall is now defunct.
The
next one. So
there's one that directs the OMB director to develop recommendations to modernize regulatory review undoes Trump's regulatory approval process,
which was basically like just a formula for quid pro quo. So that's just a few of them. There's a bunch of other ones. Not all of them have gone into effect just yet, but Yeah, like they just this, he's already like well on way to, you know, fixing all the cracks that the Trump era left in our country.
Problem is quite a few.
Yeah. The big problem, though, is he needs to actually get solid legislation into that have these ordinances in them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the next president that comes around, if it's not Biden, can just reverse them again.
Yeah. So, the good thing is that Pelosi passed some like 400 bills.
Yeah.
I assume at least some of them cover things that they would like to make into law.
Yeah, and that now that Mitch McConnell is no longer Senate Majority Leader, that means that a lot of those laws will actually get voted on now. So yeah.
Now all of a sudden he's concerned about minority rights.
Let's see. So next up, Biden asked the DNI to draw up a threat assessment on domestic violent extremism, which, for the record, both the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI have been saying that white nationalist terrorism has been the biggest threat to the United States national security over the last decade.
And yes, they've been saying that during the Trump administration, I'll point that out.
Yeah.
But Trump wasn't listening.
Now we're going to have hard data and people to keep an eye on these people on social media and all that.
Yeah.
For as much as they documented it on Parler.
Mm-hmm.
That whole event when they're storming the Capitol, so much so that they could just set up an interactive map with all the GPS data saying, like, oh, here's people from this angle and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it was a good job making it so easy for everybody to figure out where all of you were at.
Yeah. So former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, God, I'm so happy I can say that as well. On the last day of his tenure, he officially accused the government of the People's Republic of China of genocide against the Uyghur population in Xinjiang.
Yeah, it would be nice if we could do something to help the Uyghurs.
Yeah.
It really, really, really would. It's horrible.
Yeah. This is actually kind of a good thing, but them doing it on the last day is very much like, we just want to stir the hornet's nest before we're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the first step to doing this is we kind of have to repair our relationship with China in the first place so that they might actually listen to us.
And at this point, I think we're going to need big players like Apple to come in and say, we are not going to accept this kind of slave and it's worse than that. The concentration camp type of
I would call them concentration camps, but in practice, they're closer to like Phil. This was a thing that happened up in your neck of the woods. The residential schools.
Yeah. Well, it happened here too.
Yeah, we had them too, but they lasted longer up in Canada.
Yeah, it was a little bit before my time, but anyway.
But to anybody who's wondering, like, what exactly is like causing this whole thing? Like, what is like the series of events that leads up to this? So, so remember back in the 80s when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan?
Yeah.
Okay. So there was the Sino-Soviet split that happened in the 60s between the government of the People's Republic of China and the USSR, which meant that by the 70s, the Chinese government was often collaborating with the United States and a lot of the Western powers in any military offenses they had going up against any allies to the Soviet Union. For example, this is the reason why they ended up invading Vietnam in the late 70s after, Vietnam was trying to fight off Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge in neighboring Cambodia. Well, you know how, like, here in the U.S., one of the things we did was we gave a shit ton of weapons and training to what we call the Mujahideen?
Yes.
Which a lot of them ended up becoming the Taliban.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Al-Qaeda.
Yep, they sure did.
ISIS. And on and on and on and on. Well, China did something a little bit similar. So the area that's called Xinjiang, it is The people who live there, a lot of them are more of like Turkish descent than they are Chinese. And in order to sort of help along with the U.S. and their stuff in Afghanistan in the 80s, they decided to give a lot of money and training to various Salafist and Wahhabi groups that were based in Saudi Arabia. And they sent a good chunk of the Xinjiang's then Muslim population over there to receive training, which of course included indoctrination into that particular ideology. So when they came back, they then started up a sort of separatist movement, which devolved into this really nasty, bloody, like terrorism shit. Like there were bombings and kidnappings and knife attacks, and just a bunch of people died. And the sort of what's happened recently is essentially, at least this is the pretense they're going under, trying to stop the surge of extremism in Xinjiang by essentially trying to assimilate these people into like majority Han Chinese culture. And let's be honest, this is not the way to go about it, like at all.
No.
Some people sort of make the mistake thinking that they're doing this because they're Muslim. That's not really the case. You know, Islam has existed in China about as long as Islam itself has existed. And there's a whole ethnic group in northern China called the Hui who are actually fairly well integrated into the overall mainstream Chinese culture, and they have not really had any particular issues over the last few decades. But that still does not make this any better.
No.
Yeah, China has a weird relationship with other people of other religions. There's the people in the Buddhist.
Yeah.
There, where they have their own, in Tibet, where they have their own crap. What's the leader called?
Dalai Lama.
Yeah,
yeah.
But essentially, there's the Dalai Lama and there's the Panchen Lama. And the current Dalai Lama found a Panchen Lama, which they kind of play a spiritual game of like tag.
Yeah,
where one finds the other usually when they're younger, and when the one passes away, the other one helps find the other one.
Yeah.
As a reincarnated. And now the Panchen Lama was kidnapped by China.
Yeah.
Educated there. Claims that he's okay and all that. And potentially can use that to, once the current Dalai Lama dies, to declare their own Dalai Lama that is found and try and essentially like own the Buddhist spirituality right there. Yeah.
And the supreme irony here is that Tenzin Gyatso, the guy who's like what most people around the world acknowledge as the current living Dalai Lama, yeah, he was actually really good friends with Mao Zedong. Yeah, like there are pictures of them together.
Yeah.
He actually really liked Mao. He heavily admired him. So
yeah, and China retaliates against anybody that does anything with the Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, yeah.
Whether it's just celebrities or other politicians or whatever.
Yeah. But again, if we're going to solve any of this, the first thing we absolutely have to do is we have to repair our relationship with China. Because the sad truth is, we're both better off, far more better as friends rather than enemies. And if you want to help the people in China, you first have to, I guess, make up with the government somehow.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Then you're going to get the people that are very much think any sort of capitulating is that he's bought by the Chinese.
Yeah.
Which kicked up again just from them having an Asian member of his detail during the inauguration. It's like, no, that's not a Chinese representative. That's not how that works. Asian people aren't all from China. Jesus Christ, people.
Yeah.
Stop making your conspiracy so racist, too.
Yeah. Well, this is the level, stupid, you know, intelligence we're dealing with here. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, moving on from there, Mitch McConnell admitted publicly that Trump provoked the Capitol siege with a bunch of lies. What a shock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether he's going to do anything about that as far as this trial that's coming up.
Well, we'll see.
Who knows?
Man, he ain't going to do shit. You know that.
I don't know. it's like the way that I'm seeing, like the way his mannerisms and stuff, it's like he's going through the motions of like being a dick, but he's not really like expecting anybody to follow him at this point. He's actually probably hoping that they don't.
I mean, it's fairly well known that, you know, after that shit went down, he basically had washed his hands of the whole thing. He's like, yeah. I fucking hate that son of a bitch. I never want to speak to him again.
Yeah. It's like, from what I'm reading, like, he's very much thinking of convicting.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. By the way, so one of the things a lot of people probably noticed, not just here in the U.S., but around the world, was that in the run-up to the inauguration, there was a fuck ton of National Guard troops that were called into the Capitol.
Yes,
yeah,
there
so
were.
Much so they were just sleeping in the hallways every time I saw it. And it was like, oh, shit, what did people do? Oh, wait, no, those people are just sleeping.
Yeah.
Every
yeah.
single time.
Yeah, I mean, not all of them. AOC actually opened up her office and said, hey, if some of you guys want to sleep in here.
Yeah, they found out they were kicked out of the main building.
Yeah.
They're sleeping in, like, the garage with, you know, the fumes and all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, great example of how the government treats the military.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before they did that, all these troops went through a vetting process, and turns out about 12 of them ended up getting removed from the detail because it turned out that they had some connection to some kind of militia or extremist group.
Mm-hmm.
Or had made like posts supporting the insurrection, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Two other U.S. officials told, 12 were found with ties with right-wing militia groups or posted extremist views online. Yeah, two of them made extremist statements about the inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, it's probably on the low side in terms of the military in general, because not the best people get into the military.
Not always.
Not always.
Plenty of terrible people. Was there that shooting a couple years ago in one of the military bases around Maryland that was from a military member that just gotten off the deep end or whatever.
Yeah.
So I started shooting.
On the other hand, given the number of, National Guardsmen that were stationed here deployed to the Capitol, the fact that there were only 12 of them that needed to be removed.
That's not bad. Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually not a bad number. Yeah.
And those bode well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they're good at hiding it, so.
Well, I mean, that's also possible.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they're good at hiding it, then none of them did anything. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Nothing manifested.
And, of course, there are those one or two assholes from Fox News who are like, they're there squashing dissent, and, you know, this is Orwellian, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
don't know what that means.
Yeah.
No.
No, I think they do know. It's just that they are being told what to say.
I don't know at this point. Those people can easily be that stupid.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that is
true.
There were plenty of people in Congress that were complaining about Trump getting banned, saying it was Orwellian. It's like, no, Jesus Christ, it's a private service.
Yeah.
They can do whatever the fuck they want. The fact that they let him on there for so long was a gift, I guess.
Yeah.
To him.
First Amendment says that the government can't tell you what to do, what not to say, what to say, what not to say. It doesn't say that the rest of us...
Repealing, was it Section 230?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, that would make it easier. That means your bullshit wouldn't be allowed. That's the thing that protects your bullshit from being spread. It's like, literally, there would be a mass exodus of conservatives.
Because
you all post conspiracy bullshit.
Hmm.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
God, right. I got an earful of that shit today about the cabal.
Oh, when the inauguration was happening, people were hanging around the pizza restaurant from Pizzagate. Because they still believe in that.
Yeah.
It's like they don't even have a fucking basement. Where the fuck are the slaves supposed to be?
Yeah.
My God.
Literally just go inside and say, hey, what's up? Look around. You can see nothing.
Yeah. So like one of the last actions that Trump did before he left was an executive order that lifted a bunch of COVID-19 travel restrictions. And of course, one of the first things Biden did was immediately slap it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be lifted for travel to much of Europe, the UK, Ireland, Brazil, starting on the 26th, which is the worst time to be traveling.
Yeah, but I mean, this administration is actually taking the pandemic seriously, which is at least, you know, progress. So,
indeed. It's true.
Yeah.
I'm sure people are going to be really pissed about the mask mandate, but that's...
That's absolutely coming. And honestly, I rejoice in their...
And that's just for federal buildings, right?
Right. And
Now. That's
if
probably
these people had been following their grandparents' example and been wearing their hood, which is exactly what they should have fucking been wearing, because they're probably dead on with that mindset, they wouldn't have gotten caught. But they're not. You know, as much as they want to celebrate their Southern heritage and put that goddamn flag in the Capitol, they're not wearing the right... they're not wearing the right mark for their kind. So why are they complaining about a little itty bitty piece of cloth when they should be wearing a hood?
Yeah.
Going there, but okay.
And that mask mandate is definitely going to be expanding. So one of the other things that is now being debated about is the filibuster. And Chuck Schumer just rejected Mitch's demands to protect the filibuster leading up to upcoming votes. So it is entirely possible that they might do away with the filibuster altogether.
That'd be all right.
They might. That's one that they kind of got to be careful on because it could bite them in the ass.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but you can't really be soft on the Republicans at this point.
No.
They were not the party that said, you know, fuck your feelings, now wants the people that voted for the loser to be considered.
Mm-hmm.
When it's like, we had the majority of people that voted for Hillary back then.
Yeah.
They didn't give a shit.
The other thing to point out is Biden himself wants everybody to be considered. That's the mandate from the top. So whether it actually gets followed, I don't know. Hopefully it does, because you don't really make progress by continuing to, you know, propagate
reach across the aisle.
Yeah,
there's polite ways to say fuck you.
Yes,
and I think that perhaps it's time to maybe try that.
Yeah. So, I look forward to seeing where this goes, because it's like I genuinely think that we saw a very significant change on Wednesday.
Speaking of assholes, the Senate Democrats have filed a bunch of ethics complaints against both Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley after the Capitol attack.
Mm. Yeah.
What took so long?
I think they need to be in power.
And
they still needed to pick the rest of the glass off of the fucking floor.
Yeah. They had to actually write the paperwork. I guess I could
say. Let me just say this. If anybody wants to pay attention to someone that they think may actually manage to follow in Trump's footsteps and be even more dangerous, Josh fucking Hawley is the person you're going to want to keep your eyes on.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is that perfect toxic example of charismatic sociopath who is also slightly more competent.
Yeah.
That's danger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also,
although may not have a political career in a few months. So
let's certainly hope not. But
yeah. Did you hear how he was complaining about the fact that, you know, his publisher dropped his deal? Then it turned out they just sort of dropped it off to a subsidiary. So yeah, it's like,
yeah, he was one doing the Orwellian thing.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you could easily just self-publish it on Amazon. It's not that fucking hard.
Yeah, yeah. It really is.
You're not being prevented from saying things.
Mm.
As you say on your Twitter account.
Yeah, but, you know, he's not going to do it through Amazon because, you know, Trump doesn't like Bezos, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ted Cruz wants to get paid for his opinions.
Mm. Yeah. Ted Cruz, on the other hand, is a weasel with no backbone. So.
Yeah, he is flopping in the wind.
Yeah. And also, like Holly, he may not have a political career in a few months. So we'll see. I mean, the fucker helped sort of instigate this shit. So.
Yeah.
It's going to be quite the cascade that we'll watch unfold here in a few weeks and months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, the director of the Census Bureau actually resigned on Inauguration Day.
Yeah. Basically saying that he wanted to leave, there was no issues with the count that's being finished up right now.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but I must do now what I think is best. Let me make it clear that under other circumstances, I'd be honored to serve under President-elect Biden, just as I served the past five presidents.
Okay.
All right.
Well.
Because there's been accusations that he's, you know, kowtowed to Trump's demands on the census stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which he might have done.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. What else? Yeah. So. Oh, yeah, the QAnon bullshit. Right up to the moment that Biden was, you know, actually putting his hand on the Bible and putting his, in, you know, in his, giving his oath of office, these fuckers were absolutely expecting there to be a fucking, like, cool. Yeah, that there was going to be like, you know, like all these dudes were going to get mass arrest and there was going to be a mass execution and shit. And like these people were like fucking like, trust the plan. Q would never let us down. And then Biden was officially president.
And would you see what the big one was?
What was it?
Have you seen Face Off?
Oh, God. Yeah.
It was they swapped faces. I don't know how you would swap them without any other part. That was always the big issue with Face Off is like, those two don't have the same body
type,
but Trump and Biden definitely do not.
No.
But that, so the guy that gets arrested is actually Biden. If Trump were to get arrested, the guy who's getting sworn in was technically Trump.
Others, of course, went so far and said that Biden was actually part of the plan now.
Or that he was Q himself.
Yeah, and then, well, one dude brought that up, and then all the others were like, no, you shut your fucking mouth.
Stupid hurts.
Which is, it's been fun to seeing people sort of breaking out of it, being like, well, it didn't happen. Like, who is this Q guy? Everything he says is wrong. Like, what the hell's going on? How can I keep believing this? It's like, how did you fall into it in the first place?
Yeah,
because it's cult.
Yeah.
And it's those cult. People have no critical thinking of being able to think like, okay, wait, this is a lot of qualifiers for how this is happening. Because every sort of failure Trump had was playing like, oh, well, they won again. The deep state won again and all this. And it's like, at a certain point, you have to realize you keep losing because it's fucking lies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was, to their credit, someone who said, you know what? We got played.
Yeah.
When it didn't go their way, but.
Yeah.
Oh.
Still have, it's like you got duped into storming the Capitol and getting arrested on lots of different charges. Good job.
Yep.
Nicely done.
Played by Q and the far right that wanted to try and find the paperwork or whatever that said anything confidential. The woman that stole the laptop from Nancy Pelosi.
Yep.
Like, just got let out under care of her mom.
Yeah.
Like, house arrest kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like she was apparently trying to sell it. Potentially was going to try and sell it to Russia.
Yeah, she was trying to sell it to the Russians.
Yeah.
I was like, well, good job. You failed on that.
So. Yeah. Joke's on you. We already have that data.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Russians already got that, so thanks to
Solberg. Also, I think Nancy said it was just a laptop for presentations. It had nothing on it.
Yeah.
It's just PowerPoints.
Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet.
Yeah. And so, like, another sort of, in the, let's be honest, the chaotic flustercuck that was the Trump presidency, there were a few, shall we say, artifacts and images that became sort of associated with the era. And one of them is the Trump baby blimp.
Yes!
And that Trump baby blimp is now going to in a museum, specifically the Museum of London.
Oh, yep. God.
Yeah, the 20-foot-tall Trump baby blimp created ahead of Trump's first visit to the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is now going to be displayed in the Museum of London alongside other remnants of the public protests in the British capital. Institution mm-hmm. announced on the eve of Trump's departure from the Oval Office. They said, "We hope the baby's place in the museum will stand as a reminder of when London stood against Trump, but will prompt those who see it to examine how they can continue the fight against the politics of hate."
Yes.
Yeah, because the UK's got some trouble of their own over there.
Oh,
yeah.
They got their own foppish man-child leader with their own fucked-up hair.
And once again, my work week was consumed by fucking Brexit things.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think it would be, but here we are.
Well, it's people finally reaping what they've been sowing for believing it was good for them and all that.
Yep.
Which is like, no, it wasn't. It was done by a bunch of people.
And realized that a whole bunch of shit's price just skyrocketed.
Yep. Well, and a lot of the people that led that whole charge moved out of the country. Nigel Farage lives in the U.S. now. That kind of stuff. So it's like you got grifted by idiots who did not want to be there anymore anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So they just shit the bed and then got out of the apartment as fast as possible.
All right. Awesome. Wonderful.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So another little thing that came about is everybody started learning the name Dominion, mostly because of the 2020 election in which Trump lost very badly.
It couldn't be because he's a shitty person.
Yeah.
That everybody hates.
Yeah. The fact that he managed to turn my state blue after like 30 years.
Yep. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and managed to get two Democratic senators, not just one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a good meme with it was the old woman from Game of Thrones who says, I want him to know it was me.
Yeah.
They put Stacey Abrams' face on her.
Yeah. By the way, both Senator Ossoff and Senator Warnock were sworn in this week as well.
Yes,
they were.
Yeah.
Let them know that.
As well as the new.
Here.
Yeah.
As well as the new guy from California replaces Kamala Harris.
Yep.
All first in their state.
Anyway, point is, because of this shit, Dominion ended up getting a lot of fucking death threats and fucking.
Lost business.
You lost business. Yeah. And so they turned around and said, you know what? Fuck you people. And they started suing the pants off of fucking Fox News, off of fucking
Sidney Powell.
Yep.
Yeah. A whole bunch of motherfuckers. And now they're threatening to sue the MyPillow guy for spreading conspiracy shit.
He was at the White House with like notes saying talking about
he was telling Trump
martial law.
Martial law.
To which it trended on Twitter as Marshall, like the name, because nobody excited by this one. Character. You had to spell Marshall. And a lot of people are just like, oh, let's take Cops and put Marshall Mathers' face on it. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, this... Okay, sure. You guys are all stupid. And good job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now they're sending him a cease and desist, or else they're going to sue him.
Yeah.
Because he claimed that he has definitive proof that they got hacked by the Chinese and the Russians and changed the numbers. And there was somebody, I forget, that wrote an article, was like talking to him via email. It's like, well, do you have any proof? And he sent a blank attachment. They're like, wait, that's not working for me. Then he sent like a one-page document that had nothing on it.
Yeah.
Again, so it's like, this is the proof that he has. The hard proof. He's like, well, here's the one page out of dozens I have that prove this, and it's nothing.
You know,
it's hollow as everything else they say.
We're at the point where a fucking pillow CEO is trying
one that only advertises on Fox News.
Yeah.
Because nobody else takes it seriously. He's actually starting to lose his market share too, because both
everybody's dropping him.
Yeah, Kohl's, Bed Bath and Beyond, a whole bunch of other places have.
If you can't get in Bed Bath and Beyond with the pillow, what the fuck are you doing?
It's on the fucking store. You know, it's Bed Bath and Beyond, and you know that's like one of the
count for at least a third of that.
Yeah,
you can't even make it to the Beyond section.
By the way, has anybody ever actually tried one of those pillows?
Yeah, it sucked ass.
Yeah,
it sucked.
I saw a title from some sites like, "Oh, I got rid of my my pillow, and I had the best night of sleep in years."
Well, what exactly is it about those specifically pillows that makes them like supposedly different from others? Like,
I think that one was just made with shredded memory foam. It's made with waste product. I mean, it's like turning sawdust into a cheap, you know, $10 shoe cabinet or something.
Yeah.
It's pathetic. If you want a good pillow, in my opinion, and I have tried probably 30 or 40 pillows in the past 10 years, just find yourself a pair of feather pillows that work for you.
Yeah. And
put them
one on top of the other and then just...
Yeah. And try to get them from IKEA because they're less likely to be brutal to their waterfowl.
Yeah.
Although that's not a given, so...
Yeah. So, all right. So we are now leaving all the serious shit behind us and moving on to the entertainment portion. So, first and foremost...
Oh, yeah, and Phil had to step out.
Yeah, Phil. Yeah.
Thanks for being on, so...
Yeah.
We'll try again another time.
Soon. Yeah, but anyway. Microsoft recently patented some technology that could turn dead people into AI chatbots.
Which is literally a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
Using it as a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is a patent that they are trying to get. Let's see, it's titled Creating a Conversational Chatbot of a Specific Chatbot of a Specific Person. Details the system that would access images, voice data, social media posts, electronic messages, and the like to create or modify a special index and a theme of the specific person's personality. In some cases, images and videos could be used to create a 3D model of the person for extra realism. This is exactly what that was.
Okay, and there's not going to be some future John Edwards who isn't going to use that to make money off of grieving people and convince them that their loved one still lives in the internet like some freakazoid or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is just going to...
See, that's not what I was thinking. I was thinking, like, people were going to immediately turn this into, like, a celebrity sex chat or something.
Oh, good God, no. I was thinking more DMs taking advantage of people.
Yeah, which is a Futurama bit.
Yeah. See, I'm thinking of the internet and...
Oh, the Lucy Liu bot. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. See, I'm thinking of the internet and, well, do the math.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I follow you.
Yeah. I mean,
it gives some actual personality to those, what, real dolls?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Also, they would let's hope the actual chatbots AI are significantly more advanced than the ones that exist right now.
And what do you think the likelihood of ads being inserted into there?
Oh, there would be.
But it's like one of the last episodes of Community is clearly Honda paid for them to keep doing stuff because they constantly talking about Honda vehicles throughout. It's like, Jesus Christ. Oh, you're making fun of this, but you're also doing it. So I don't know what the
Jesus
fuck to think
in
of
his
it.
Own accord.
Yeah.
Jesus did not speak of his own accord.
It's like when they had the Subway guy that legally represented Subway, the physical manifestation of Subway, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, stop giving them ideas. Damn it.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So next up from there, CBS All Access. It is actually relaunching as Paramount Plus in the U.S. on March 4th.
Yeah.
Same price?
I assume so. Yeah, they don't mention the price yet. It might be something they reveal if it's changing here closer to launch. But yeah, they are going to... Okay, they're going to host a virtual investor presentation on February 24th to detail their evolving streaming strategy. So there might be details there, but yeah, it's going to debut on that date, March 4th, here in the U.S. and Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a much expanded rebrand of CBS All Access, yeah, which has, let's see, CBS network programming, 150-plus local affiliates, including NFL games, many original series, catch-up viewing and library shows. With the relaunch, Paramount Plus will also feature dedicated hubs for, see, Nickelodeon, MTV, BET, Comedy Central, for a total of 30,000 titles. And I guess at the moment, CBS All Access is believed to have about 8 to 9 million subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a big market share at all.
Yeah. Well, that was just for CBS stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so if they're trying to go this route, maybe they're going to try to bottle the magic that I guess Disney is bottling and making a pretty penny off of, I'm sure.
Yeah.
By having so many more libraries available.
Yeah, it seems like it also have an ad-supported component through the CBS live streams and CBS News, sports highlights, and Entertainment Tonight branded theme channels that complement the mothership eye on CBS All Access.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows?
Interesting.
All right. Here's another thing. Streaming news. Freaks and Geeks is coming to Hulu January 25th with the original soundtrack.
Oh.
Yeah.
That took some finagling, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, it did. Oh, man.
That's a lot of work to go through.
Mm-hmm. A lot of work to go through. Because there's some serious copyright shit that you got to go through in order to get all that.
And you can see a show that has a lot of well-known actors when they're very, very young. Seth Rogen, Martin Starr, Busy Phillips, John Francis Daly, James Franco, Jason Segel, a bunch of people like that. There's also a Paul Feig show who did, I forget, he's done a bunch of stuff. But yeah,
and,
looking forward to check this out.
Yeah. Another good bit of streaming news. The Muppet Show is coming to Disney Plus on February 19th.
Yes.
The original Muppet Show, yeah.
Yeah, the theme song trailer they put out is in widescreen, which the show is not. So
yeah,
I'm hoping the show is in 4:3.
Yeah.
And not cut up like they did to The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm. Lord, I hope so. Oh, man. I used to watch reruns of that all the time when I was a kid.
It's a fun show.
It still holds up.
Like, yeah.
And it shows
you all the references, but
no. But it also shows you a good idea of who was famous in the '70s. So
yeah.
My favorite is still the Alice Cooper episode that they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a lot. That one was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was like their SNL.
Yeah.
Well, they started on SNL. That's where the Muppet Show started.
Yeah, it was actually a thing on SNL.
And failed. And
for
so
a
became
very
the Muppet
short
Show.
Time. Yeah. Yeah. Moving on from there, HBO has decided to go back to the Game of Thrones cauldron because they're working on a Tales of Dunk and Egg prequel series, which, for those of you who don't know, so on top of like the regular, the regular Song of Ice and Fire books, George R.R. Martin had also wrote a series of shorter novellas that take place like a few hundred years, I guess, before the Song of Ice and Fire timeline. And it usually revolves around this dude who's like a knight in training and this dude named Egg who's like this weird little bald kid. It's good stuff. They tend to be a bit more on the comedic side compared to the stuff in Song of Ice and Fire, which is just, well, yeah.
Not comedic.
No. Like the exact opposite of comedic.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's take a look at this, see who's going to be doing the show.
I don't think
today.
They have anything just yet.
Yeah, I was thinking
no writer
of
talents
get
attached to it yet. Just that they're starting work on it.
All right.
So I think the only thing they have as far as like another Game of Thrones thing is the House of the Dragon show.
Mm-hmm.
Which is supposed to debut in 2022,
mm-hmm.
which shows the buildup of the Targaryens leading to the Civil War in Westeros, as known as the Dance of Dragons.
Mm. All right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And finally, last story of the night, the latest James Bond movie, No Time to Die.
A couple more.
Oh, actually. Oh, there are a couple more. Hold on. Yeah, I said that the page kind of splits off at the end. All right, so not last story. The latest James Bond film, No Time to Die, is getting delayed once again to October 8th.
Yeah, it was supposed to be April 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Now it gets moved a good bit longer because the studios are realizing, this still is not going to be in great shape anytime soon.
Yeah.
So yeah, that got delayed a good 6 months there.
Mm-hmm.
We got some more news.
Yeah. Let's see. Sony Pictures is also delaying a number of its upcoming movies.
There is Cinderella, starring Camila Cabello, which is supposed to be February 5th. Now it's July 16th. That bumps Uncharted, which was going to be mid-July to February of next year. See, Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway, moved back from April 2nd to June 11th. And the Ghostbusters sequel is delayed to November 11th.
Ghostbusters Afterlife, yeah.
Yeah.
The Uncharted
Morbius.
Movie.
Morbius is also getting pushed. Because that's when No Time to Die is now releasing as that date. So they pushed it to January 21st, 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the King's Man, which I think is the follow-up to the King's Speech.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only one that's still holding on March 12th.
Yeah. So wonderful. Man, this COVID crap just absolutely stabbed the movie business right in the gut, didn't it?
And it took a shit on everything.
Oh, yeah. So next up, Disney delayed some of its 20th Century Studios and Searchlight movies. So let's see.
Oh yeah, The Kingsman's here. Mentioned we're from March 12th to August 20th. Mm-hmm. The animated family film Ron's Gone Wrong has been pushed to October 22nd, and Bob's Burger now has no date.
Yeah,
except for April 9th, and now does not have one yet.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, oh, let them take as long as they need.
Yeah. The Searchlight, the four movies they've got delayed is the horror film The Night House, the biopic The Eyes of Tammy Faye, which stars Jessica Chastain, and I'm guessing that's about Tammy Faye Baker.
Probably.
Yeah.
The supernatural thriller Antlers, and Guillermo del Toro's latest film Nightmare Alley. which is supposed to, looks like it's going to become, they've delayed it to December 3rd.
Yep.
All right.
And still no mention of Black Widow, which I think is current set for May 7th. Mm-hmm. Of what's happening with that. So, hey, yeah. Fun.
Yeah. Fun for everyone. And finally, now the actual last story of the week, Netflix. Netflix will be offering a shuffle play feature in the first half of 2021. So
if you have no idea what you want to watch, you're just like, pick something.
Yeah. Thank you, Netflix. Fucking
Which I hope
finally.
There's just a way to keep doing it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just be like, no, that's not it. That's not it either. I've seen that. You know, that kind of shit.
Mm.
Especially if you could limit it to certain genres or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, it's really working for us where our members can basically indicate to us that they just want to skip browsing entirely. Click one button and we'll pick a title for them just to instantly play. That's a great mechanism that's worked quite well for members in that situation. Co-CEO Reed Hastings chimed in jokingly to ask Peters, Greg, are we going to call it I'm Feeling Lucky? Referencing Google's search feature.
Yeah.
Google will like that.
Or are you going to come up with something better?
Yeah.
Peters replied, we're going to come up with something better than that, so stand by for this. We'll see it when it rolls out.
All right. And that's it, folks. We got ourselves a show. And a good show it was. For such a happy occasion. So I'd like to remind all of our listeners, you got a question, comment, or something you want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. Got it linked to you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans. Although, to be kind of honest, that's also kind of a lie because we do have the show notes here that we use. But anyway, you can catch them at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, Archive.org, or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. If we're not on there yet, well, just sit down there and get a bite to eat and wait a few minutes. We will be there eventually. We're inevitable. We're kind of like Thanos, only lamer. Anyway, I would like to thank our special guests for the week, Filippo D'Onofrio and Patrick Mifflin. Thank you both for being here. Because we were all here to celebrate an occasion we had waited so much for over the last 4 years. And it finally came. So I don't know about you guys, but I'm looking forward to going to bed tonight, waking up, and not giving a rat's ass of what the president said on Twitter.
Yeah.
Missed that.
Having one that's not addicted to Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the first major patch for Cyberpunk 2077 was loaded today, so I want to see how it fixes the game this time. By the way, my Cyberpunk 2077 review is finished and should be on the site, smashbad.com, within the next couple of days. So expect to see that. I have things to say and opinions. Some of them confusing, but you'll see what I mean when you read them. So, with that, I have been your host, Brandon Perkins, and join us next week this is for Teresa Sammons, Chris Sologi, and of course, Patrick Mifflin, and Filippo D'Onofrio, who are our special guests. Good night, sleep tight, and it's finally a brand new day.